الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سيما بقية الله الأعظم روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وهل لقطة من لساني يفقه قولي. One of the tendencies that we all have as human beings, that is actually the most primary tendency and inclination that we all have, is the tendency to seek comfort, to be comfortable. We all want to be in a state of comfort. And this is something that is inbuilt in us. You can't take it away. And this is so important in our life that a lot of things in our life, other things in our life, are influenced by this tendency. We want to be comfortable. And this is something that is so prevalent in everything that we do and in everything that we believe in, that this is the first thing that we seek before we seek anything else. Before we seek pleasure, enjoyment, or dunya, or things of dunya, or material things, or anything else, before we seek anything, before we want anything else, we need and want to be comfortable. If we're not comfortable, then nothing else matters to us. Look at yourself and you'll see what I mean. If you are in a state of discomfort, if there's pain that is bothering you, if you're under stress, you will see that you're not interested in any other pleasure. You're not interested in doing anything else. The first priority that you have is to alleviate that pain that is bothering you so that you can gain a comfort and become comfortable before you go forward. This is inbuilt in us. And this is the first thing that we knew when we came into this world. We didn't know about pleasures. We didn't know about enjoyment. We didn't know about needs. We didn't know about wanting and wishes. But we did know about comfort. And that's why when a baby is born and he starts to feel discomfort, he starts crying. Now, really, is the baby crying because he feels hunger? You really think a baby knows what a hunger is? Where's my food? I didn't get lunch today. He doesn't know that. All he knows is that, you know what? I feel stress. I am in pain, so let me make some noise. Right? Can someone please get rid of this pain for me? That's what we are dealing with. This is who we are. And hence, all we know, the first thing we know about and the first thing that we experience in life is discomfort and the need to get rid of that discomfort so that we can gain comfort. Comfort is an important part of our life. And because of this reason, because of this issue in our life, many of the downfalls that we have are because of this issue. The fear of not being comfortable, the fear of pain, the fear of stress is so prevalent in our life and is so important in our life that whenever we think of it, we are ready to sacrifice whatever we can in order to gain a state of comfort. And you'll see it. You're ready to sacrifice everything. And that's the reason a lot of us fail spiritually. Those who want to become mu'min, super mu'min, whatever you want to become. If you want to become religious and make yourself strong, Most of us who are religious and most people who practice religion and are faithful, their faith is destroyed not because of worldly pleasures, not because of temptations, not because of sins. The first reason that faith is destroyed is because of the fear of discomfort and pain that we have. I don't want pain in my life. I can't deal with it. So what happens? I will sacrifice everything to make sure that I don't have to deal with pain. Pain is really important in our life. The issue of pain. It really makes us, a lot of religious people, you see, they will lose their religion, they will lose their practice because of pain. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with the issue of comfort in their life. And they're so scared of losing their comfort and losing the peace that they're in and falling into suffering and difficulties that they can compromise everything for it. And that's why a lot of people who raise their children, the first thing that they need to deal with in doing tarbiyat of children, in raising children correctly, is to help them deal with the issue of comfort in their life. How do you deal with it? Because comfort needs to be managed. If you let go of it and if it goes out of control, then a person is looking for comfort in everything. That person is not going to care about religion, because whenever religion is going to come and bring about trouble for him or put him in a uncomfortable position, he is going to sacrifice it. You know, you'll see that. You know, when you are, for example, hungry, or when you are in pain, when you are going through stress and you really have stress in your life, and then someone says, let's go and listen to a majlis for 2 hours. How many of us are going to even concentrate or even want to do that? What are you talking about? Right now I'm going through crisis in my life. So what if you're going through crisis in your life? You know, I mean really, you have, let's say, pain. A little small pain. For example, your finger got cut. He said, oh, your finger is cut. Don't worry. Let's listen to this lecture right now. No, let's put a bandaid on my finger first. Before you do anything, I want to get rid of this discomfort I'm in. I can't do anything else. Religion can't happen if I am in pain. I can't deal with it. And that's the reason most kids, they are lost, not because of worldly temptations or drugs or music or these type of things. They are lost because they have never been shown how to deal with comfort in their life, how to deal with pain in their life. Any side of pain and that's it, they lose. They said, okay, let's compromise everything. I can't deal with this. Pain is really important in our life, and wanting comfort is really important also. And that's what we want to talk about. How do we make ourselves comfortable and deal with the issue of comfort and make sure that it doesn't misguide us? And on the other hand, if a person is not comfortable, then you know what? His relationship with Allah begins to suffer. Did you know that? Most religious people, they lose their religion and they lose their faith because of the discomfort in their lives. Pain in their lives. They're unable to deal with the pain in their life. So what happens? They will compromise their faith. They will compromise their religion. They'll compromise their practice. Because they can't deal with pain in their life. They do, and this is what happens, and hence, pain is not good. Islam encourages us to lead a comfortable life, but to lead it in a way that it doesn't spoil us. So, what do you call this subject that I'm talking about? What would you call this subject that I'm talking about in Islam? It is called pain management. Pain management. If you don't know how to manage pain in your life, then you will not be able to practice Islam or any faith. You can't. You have nothing to do with faith. And even if you do become religious, you know what will happen? Even if you do learn, then that learning and that religion that you adopted, the practice that you're doing, eventually is going to serve only your own self-interest. It will become your slave. You will never become the slave of God. That religion will become your slave to serve your comfort, to make you comfortable. That's what it will become. And you will sacrifice religion whenever you see the sign of trouble, problems come about. I don't need to give you harsh examples or hard examples. I'm just raising the subject so we know what we are talking about. It's really important. How do we deal with pain in our life? We all have pain. My friends, I want to jump right into the subject without any more introduction, all right? So that we all can actually go into dealing with how do we actually deal with pain in our life. We all have pain. We all are going through stress in our life, and we know that. We don't need a proof for that. Everyone is going through pain. The only one who are not going through pain right now are either babies and kids or mentally retarded people. But between kids and mentally retarded people, everyone is in stress. That's it. Everyone else is in a state of discomfort. There's pain that's happening, and there's stress happening in their life, wherever it comes from. Wherever it comes from, it might come in terms of your health, it might come in terms of your relationships, it might come in terms of poverty, it might come in terms of livelihood, or your neighbors, or so many other things. It happens. There's no way to get rid of it. Now, how do we deal with pain? I'm going to give you certain remedies that have been taught to us by Allah and Ahlul Bayt that go a far way in helping you deal with suffering in your life. You can't deny, no one can say, oh, you know what, I don't want suffering. That is the sign of your weakness. Let's send a salawat and move forward, please. So that. There you go. How do you deal with this idea, right? So I'm going to just give you certain things. The three ways to deal with pain. In fact, you know what? I will show you how you can deal with pain and reduce pain in your life. Right? I'll show you that. And I'll also show you a way in which you can change pain into pleasure. See, that's what we really want to know. Man, I know I'm going to go through pain. How can I change that into pleasure? Can you imagine that? That the more pain you're given, the more stress you're given, the happier you are. Can you imagine that? You want to see something like that? You saw it. You saw something like that in Karbala. The enemies who were there, and they wrote down the whole battle and narrated the battle, what's going on, this and that. They said as the day progressed, and the people where Imam Hussein's army, or little army that he had, was suffering, and they're going through, death and tribulations. I mean, everyone was dying, right? One after another. The more people as they died, the army said they started laughing more. Imam Hussein was laughing. Everyone was laughing. They were so happy and joyful as if they were having a party. These people are trying so hard to kill them, and they're sweating while Imam Hussein and his people are enjoying it. What was going on there? What's going on there? I mean, they're in pain. They're suffering. How are they enjoying it? How in the world are they enjoying it? Can you actually enjoy pain? See, you need to know the secret of that. Right? Not today. Sunday. First, I will tell you how to deal with pain in your life. Because it's important. Because when you don't deal with pain in your life, it is going to make you suffer. And that's why you see people are depressed in life. They don't know how to deal with pain. They don't know how to deal with loss. When you have a loss in life, when you have some trouble in life, they don't know how to deal with it. And because they don't know how to deal with it, they end up succumbing to the sufferings that they're going through. And it's not that much. But whatever it is, they think, that's it. I'm the only one who gets it. Allah is against me. And you know what? I have no hope. I'm hopeless. So let me find a bridge. But you're not like that. Right? You have a better way of dealing with it. And I want to show that. So that it's not just you as a believer. Any human being. All of us are going through pain. Everyone is going through pain. Believers go through a little bit more. Right? And that's the reason that when we talk about pain, we can actually say and give this remedies to others, saying that, listen, let me tell you what we are going through as believers. Right? Let me tell you what we are going through as believers, right? And then, you know, we can actually say that because really, we go through more pain than others. You know, it has been testified by Allah and also Ahlul Bayt. It has been testified. So my friends, what is the way of dealing with pain in your life? I'm going to give you the first thing today so that you can start to deal with it, right? And know that, you know, number one thing that will help you to deal with any sort of suffering in your life is to know that pain is real and it's evident. Have you ever noticed that? Or, you know, I mean, the fact that, you know, if you are alive, you are going to be in pain. You are going to get suffering. Have you noticed that? Because a lot of times what happens, we're given the deluded idea that, you know what, maybe we can work to alleviate all the pain in our life and that's it. You know, Rasulullah said that, listen, why are you wishing for something you cannot have in this life? So what is that? Comfort. You can't have comfort in this life. Absolute comfort. You're going to have pain and you are going to go through suffering in your life. That is no, there's no way for you to avoid that. So what happens is that, really, I have to go to suffering? Yes, you are going to go through suffering. If you know that the challenges are coming and the troubles are coming and you are going to go through suffering, it'll be easier for you to deal with it. That'll be easier for you to deal with it, knowing that, hey, you know what? Here comes a curveball. I'm sitting on it, right? So I know what I'm waiting for. You know, if you go through life and you see that, you know what? I have a whole week, I had no problems, right? Then you should be asking yourself, okay, you know what? Where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? It's going to happen. I know something's going to happen. You know, I don't know what. I'll get into an accident. I'll lose my job or some sickness. Something's going to happen. You just can't go through life without pain. That's it. Allah says, لَقَدْ قَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي الْكَبَدْ. We have created man in difficulties. You are made, your life has been made for hardships. Get ready for it. That's what's going to happen. You think that you're going to be free any moment? No, you're not. If you're free for a moment, the next moment, there's something in your life that you'll feel like, what the heck happened in my life? Why did I go through this? This is who we are, and that's what we have to go through in life. We are in pain. So if you know that pain is going to happen, good. Now I know it's going to happen. I know I'm going to get sick. It depends on what sickness I get, what disease I get, what cancer I get. I'm going to get it. So when you know it's going to happen, you're like waiting for it to happen, and it's easier to deal with it. So the first thing Allah says is that, listen, just deal with the fact that it's going to happen. If you know it's going to happen, then you have a much better attitude in dealing with pain. Because you know what? Whenever suffering comes and difficulties come, the worst thing is the shock. You know, shock factor that you get in any suffering. You know, for example, you get into an accident. Oh, I got into an accident. What? What, you think that you're immune from accidents? What made you shocked? You see, the shock is what hurts us more. Why are you shocked for? Why are you surprised for? You're going to get pain. It's going to happen. Why are you surprised for? Think about it. I want you all to think about this. It's something that we have to deal with every day in our life. It's something that's affecting our faith and our relationship with Allah. And we need to start to think about it. Why is it happening like this? You know, most people, you know, when they have to deal with pain, the first thing that hurts them is the fact that they don't know it's coming. So now when it comes, they are bogged down and their whole life is now revolving around that one issue of suffering in their life. You know, so, I mean, their whole life is defined by that. So, how are you? What's your story? I have cancer. That's your story? That's it? I mean, your whole life is defined by one problem that you have? See, this is such a horrible way of looking at life. Looking at yourself. Pain defines us. How did you let that, why did you let pain do that to you? Let you define who you are, what you are. And this is why it's so important to know how to deal with it. If you know that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Let me just share a hadith with you, right? Just in case someone has a doubt, you know what, maybe I can escape, right? Maybe I can escape all these problems, you know, in life. Maybe let me do that. Just in case you have a doubt, I'll read this hadith for you. This hadith is from Rasulullah. You know, he said that a mu'min, a believer, is going to get one of the three problems I'll mention. He's going to get problems from one of the three places. Sometimes he gets all three. Yes, they get VIP treatment. All three. They're going to get the whole shebang. But he says, at least one of them, they're going to get. There's no way out of it, guys. Listen to that. One of these three problems that he's going to mention now, you're going to get it. And it is going to become a suffering in your life. He says, what happens? You know, what are those things? He says, the first thing that a mu'min might get, the first thing a mu'min might get is suffering from a member of his family. Yes, from a member of his family. He'll get a spouse or a wife, you know, or a child, a brother, a mother-in-law. So I see, you know, what's your trigger? And this is what happened. He says, one of your family members, Allah is going to give you that problem from them. So you will see that bad apple in your family who becomes a nuisance in your life. Someone that the whole family is like, you know, can't we just... put them in a foster home or something. You know, really, that's what happens. I mean, is there any way that we can get rid of this from the whole family? Yes, you will have that. And he said, one of the three things, he said, you know, you might have a bad family member who's going to give you trouble in your life. And you see that in your life, someone is going to be there who's going to cause you pain and suffering. And now you have to deal with that person every day of your life. In everything, in every relationship. You see that one person in that family. Rasulullah said that one person will be there. Okay? But maybe, you know, hey, your family might be good. And you eliminated the bad apples. Let's say. So whatever you did, let's say you have a good family, right? Unless, okay, then Rasulullah said, all right, you know what? Second place is if your family is good and all these things, then Allah is going to give you a bad neighbor. A neighbor who's going to make your life hell. Yes. And so what happens is that, you know, you might have a good family. Then what Allah does? A neighbor. He gives you a neighbor. And that neighbor makes your life hell. Everything, you know, your whole focus is now on what this neighbor is doing to you and every problem that he's causing. Like that. Yeah, because, I mean, if he doesn't cause you problem, then you might be the azab for him. You know? And so it happens. This is the second thing that happens to you. And the third thing that Rasulullah mentioned, that if you have a good neighbor, then it might be someone in your work work-related. Your boss, your co-worker who's making your life hell. Who's going to give you suffering in your life? Yes, he says one of these three you're going to get. And some believers get all three. Some believers get all three. Yes, everyone, you know what I mean? Look around. But then what happens is this. Some people might be smart. You know, they try to outsmart the system. And what they do is that, listen, here's what we'll do. Let's not get married. You know, let's not have a neighbor. Let's not get a job. We can go and become a monk. Join the Hausa. Yes, you know, you might have some people who are like that, right? Say, you know what? I'm going to join the Hausa, man. You know, I don't want to deal with problems in life and this and that. Some people might really do that. They might think that they can outsmart the system. So, Rasulullah says, all right, you know, if you think that you can outsmart the system by going to a mountain and hiding over there so that you don't have any problems, if you go to a mountaintop or a cave, words of Rasulullah, if you go to a cave on a mountaintop trying to hide from problems and you think that you're going to get away with that, you know what Allah does? Allah will appoint a shaitan for you. He says, go and make his life hell. You will have a demon that's going to come and become a problem for you. You are not going to escape problems and suffering in your life. It's not going to happen. Friends, it's not going to happen. And that's why when you know that it's going to happen, where is it going to come from? It might be a family member. It might be, you know, a spouse. It might be a worker. It might be a neighbor. It could be a shaitan. It could be so many things. So what happens is that when you know this, at least expect it. Why are you thinking it's not going to happen? What makes you think that you're going to get away from this? So my friends, one way, the first way of dealing with problems in your life is to know that problems are real, suffering is real, pain is real. It will help you to become more comfortable. It really will help you to have a peace of mind. Knowing that it happens, great, it happens. You'll see people like that, you know. If they get hit hard, if suffering happens to them, they're like, whatever, it's happening. So it happens. And this is the idea that we get. You know, but here, I'll just say some things, right? There is a pain that Allah gives, right? There are sufferings that Allah gives. If you get a disease, Allah gave it to you. You know, it's not created by your enemies, you know, and given to you. Leave that alone. Really, it's Allah who's giving you this, right? That's what we don't do. We don't blame Allah. You know, we blame everyone else. Why don't we blame Allah? Maybe you're too good that you don't want to blame Allah for it. You know, and what I mean is that, you know, that's how Allah creates. Allah himself is saying, hey, I'm to blame for that. You know, the hardships in your life, I'm to blame for that. Allah is saying that. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي الْكَبَلِ. We created you in difficulties. We gave you those problems. So why are you trying to blame others? You know, this is the second way I'm saying. The second thing that reduces, second way to reduce problem is not to blame anyone. Blame Allah. You know how we increase our problems in life? We already have problems. You know how we increase our problems? We increase our problems by blaming other people. By trying to find someone to blame and put at fault. You know what? Who did this to me? Where is it coming from? I know, you know, that aunt of mine, she always, you know, was jealous, you know, and maybe she's doing this magic on me. No, she's not. It's Allah who's doing it to you. Take it. Understand it. Why are you trying to blame anyone else for it? Why blame someone else for it? It's the society that's doing it. No, it's not. It's Allah who's doing it. You know how it is? Let me explain to you. Have you ever been for Hajj? How many of you have been for Hajj? Raise your hands. Okay, not a lot of people, right? I have lots of kids over here. But inshallah, you know, if you ever want to go for Hajj, contact me. But when you do go there, you're going to learn something, right? You're going to learn something. And that is, when you go there, right, you'll see that when you go there, you are going to do the tawaf of the Kaaba. You do the tawaf of the Kaaba. You know what the whole idea of the tawaf is? It's to teach you about life. That's what you're doing. You're learning about life. What is it? You know, I mean, Allah is giving you a descriptive picture of what is life. And He's saying to you that, listen, life here is illogical. It doesn't make sense. It's a senseless thing that you're doing here. You know, when you're doing the tawaf, it's a senseless thing. Allah gives that example to you, very descriptive. He says, listen, what are you doing here? Have you ever noticed that, what you're doing in tawaf? You're trying to make circles around a square. You know, and when you do circles around a square, what happens? The traffic is going to run into each other. You know, I'm like, listen, this is not how the traffic goes. Why can't we just have a straight line here? And no one's going to crash into each other. But Allah says, no, you are going to make that circle around the square. And when you do that, you are going to run into each other. Then pushing and shoving is going to happen. What is life? Life is that. He says, life, that's the way I made it. I made it such that it's going to cause problems for you. I made it such that you'll have to go through difficulties and you will have pain in your life. You will have stress in your life. And what do you do when you're doing tawaf? You know what most people do? They want someone to blame. Every time they're pushed, they look back. Who's the one? Who's this guy? That's what they do. So why are you looking back to see that, you know? And God forbid you push someone's wife. You know, I didn't push her. It's a crowd, you know. It pushed me into you, you know. And I look at you with a dirty look, you know. I'm not the pervert here, you know, come on. And it's really embarrassing. And you're like, you know, why are we doing this? We want to blame others for it. But you know who's to blame? Allah, you're to blame because you made it this way. Allah made it this way. A lot of these things, you know, are made so that we can look at those things and say, Subhanallah. You know, Subhanallah, Allah, it's you. You know, sometimes pain and difficulty that Allah gives is the only way, and in the only way that we communicate with Allah. Subhanallah. Did you ever notice that? It's so sad. When we're happy, and then, you know, this is an example Allah gives in the Quran also. Right? When you're in distress, right, you call to Allah. You communicate with Him. And once Allah relieves you of that distress, what happens? You turn away as if you never called Him, as if you have no relationship with Him. Why is it that the only time that we communicate with Allah is in distress? That is a bad relationship. You know, the only time you ever speak to your spouse is when there's a fight. It's like that, right? You know, okay, you know what? The only way we talk is when we fight. Otherwise, you know, you look the other way, I look the other way. It's not a healthy relationship. Same thing with Allah. You have a very unhealthy relationship, and the only time that you talk to Allah is when you are in problems. But sometimes that's the only time we talk. You know, that's why Allah, you know, gives you those problems. Maybe that's His wisdom. But I'm saying, we need to understand that first of all, it is real. Pain is real. And second of all, don't try to blame others for it. Really, it's Allah who's doing it to us. So some pain and problems are given by Allah. But there are other pain and problems that we give ourselves. Those are the ones that we need to avoid. I'll just mention some of them today. I mean, well, actually, you know, I'll give you the idea today and we'll go forward from here. Some pain and problem you give yourself, that's what I want to talk about right now, not what Allah gives you. What Allah gives you is different. You know, what Allah gives you in life, you will see it coming. And you know it's happened. It's out of your control. You can't do anything about it. Right? And you will see that. The problems Allah gives you, you know, your health problems, relationship problems, whatever it comes. You know, I mean, we see that. And so what happens is that those things I need to learn how to deal with. I'll speak about it later. How do you deal with those problems? But certain problems we give ourselves, these are called unnecessary problems. Note them down. Unnecessary problems that we can easily avoid. We can easily avoid these problems. Let me mention those to you. And you know what? It will help you to say that, you know what? I don't need this problem in my life. Let me scratch that out because that's in my hand. I can do that. I can scratch that pain and that suffering and that stress out of my life. So what are those things that we cause ourselves that Allah has nothing to do with, that we made the problems for ourselves? For example, number one, problems and suffering that we suffer because of envy. I am jealous towards someone else and it is causing me pain. Why? Because I'm jealous towards him. I hate him. And then what happens? You know, all my time I'm thinking about how do I make him come down, bring him down, do something to him. Really, why are you stressing yourself out? Is Allah giving you this stress? No, he's not. You're giving it to yourself. Really, this is a pain that's easily avoidable. Easily avoidable, everyone. You want to avoid? Don't be envious. What he has is what Allah gave him. What you have is what Allah gave you. Just relax. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Don't be envious. It's a lot of times we see a lot of our pain that we cause ourselves because of these things. I'm envious of that person. I hate that person. You know? One brother, you know, he buys a house. The other one's wife is saying, you know, we need to buy a house too. But I can't afford that mortgage. Doesn't matter. We need to have it. What will everyone say? And then what happens? Now you take upon a mortgage that you can't afford. And then the stress that comes with it. The problems that comes with it. Why are you doing this? Is Allah giving you that problem? No. Allah wasn't giving you that problem. You gave it to yourself. These are problems that we can avoid easily. Number one, envy. Problems that stem out of envy. Number two, problems that stem out of arrogance and pride. When you are arrogant, you do stupid things. You know, you say stupid things, you lie, and you say things, and now you are like, oh my God. Now how do I protect myself? You know, I mean, I became arrogant and I said, you know what? I'm going to Harvard. And now they actually look into you and say, you're not going to Harvard. You're going to Harvard Community College. Well, why do you say that? Because in that moment of arrogance and pride, I just spilled it out. And you know what? Now I have to work so hard and stress myself out to protect my dignity. This false idea of dignity that we have. Where is the stress coming from? Why are we stressing ourselves out? It's because of the fact that we don't need it. We can easily avoid it, my friends. Don't you agree? We can avoid that. Really, these are things that you should just make a list and say, I don't want these sort of things. Really. I don't want these sort of things in my life. Send us salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, another reason of avoidable problems is problems that we have because of carelessness. We're careless. We didn't pay attention, and what happened? We got into a trouble. Why didn't you pay attention? A lot of times we are careless, and because of careless, is Allah responsible for that? No, Allah said pay attention to what you're doing. Look at what you're doing. These are things that we can't avoid these things. We can easily get over these things, but what happens is that we end up making problems for ourselves. The fourth reason, fourth avoidable problems are problems that come out of sins and guna. When we sin and when we do guna, any guna, what happens? Really, that regret that comes, that feeling that comes is stress, it's painful. Remorse is painful. Regret is painful. So what happens is that when it's pain, why are you going through this? Really? Did Allah make you go through this? You know, it's Allah's mercy that He is regarding your remorse as a worship. That's His mercy. that the regret you have of sin and the remorse you have of sin, which is causing you pain, he is regarding out of his mercy as a form of worship that you did tawbah and you regret it. But it's still painful. Adam did tawbah, but it was painful. It wasn't easy. But the pain wasn't caused by Allah, it was caused by Adam himself. Even though he didn't sin. It wasn't a sin, but still, when he did whatever he did, Allah says, listen, you caused it to your own self. I didn't cause that to you. Really, I didn't give you that problem. We did it. Sins in guna lead to suffering and stress. It's avoidable. Just don't sin. Don't do that. And you know what? You will avoid that. Because there are problems anyway. Just don't create extra problems for yourself. Wrongs we have done to others. Number five, wrongs we have done to others create a lot of stress in our life. You know, I did wrong to someone else. I said something wrong to someone else. I did ghibat. You know, I mean, imagine that. When you do ghibat, you know what? Oh my God. What did I say about that person? What if they learn about this? That will be so embarrassing. It will be so hard. And what would they think about me? Why are you going through this stress for? This stress is created by yourself, not by Allah. So you can avoid that in your life. Avoid that in your life, my friends. These are things I mentioned to you that are avoidable problems. Because we have real problems that Allah is giving us. And tomorrow I'll explain how you deal with those problems. What do they mean? And how do we deal with the problems that Allah is giving us? But these are problems that, you know what? The only way to deal with it is don't do it. Don't sin. Don't talk wrong about others. Don't be envious of others. If we understand these things, you know what? Our life will become so easy and comfortable that it will actually start going in a positive direction. I'm just going to end over here for today. Tomorrow we'll deal with the actual problems that we have in life that we all go through, right? And I'll show you how to deal with them, what to do, and how we can easily manage them in our life. Because we need to do that in order to grow spiritually. Many people, they go for ziyarah, they go for hajj, they go on, do all kinds of great things, thinking that, you know what, this is going to build them, this is going to help them. But at the end, what happens, they see that really, it didn't have that effect that they thought that it would have on them. Because the issue was never that. The issue is that if you haven't dealt with the issue of pain in your life, then no ziyarah is going to help you, no hajj is going to help you, no spiritual journey is going to help you. This is where it needs to first start. You need to deal with this in your life. And if you know how to deal with it, then everything else would cement your faith and make it stronger. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes it happens. But one thing I will give you today as a gift, as a parting gift, right? You know, let me read two ayahs for you in Surah Az-Zumar. I don't know if you ever read that surah. Towards the end of Surah Az-Zumar, you can read it yourself, you know, the ayat. I'll just mention what it means. That's it. Now, there are two ayats, very interesting, you know, and very strange in what they mean, you know. One ayat, Allah says, you know what, the people who are going to go to hell, Allah says that we are going to gather them, crowd them together, and push them into hell. We will push them into hell. Like, let's say, you know, that you take a bulldozer, you know, and there you go, you guys, you know, that's it. You're going into hell. I mean, you know, okay, great, you know, because I don't know, who wants to go to hell? No one, right? No one wants to go to hell. And, it's fire there, you know, and all kinds of dirty things. So what happened is that you don't want to go to hell. I know that, right? Okay, you know what? So you'll have to be pushed there. Forced to go inside there, right? But then there's another ayat that says, right after that, it says, the people who are going to go to Jannat and heaven, we're going to crowd them and we're going to push them into Jannat. Now, this is strange. Okay, I can understand that I don't want to go to hell, but why do you have to force the people to go to Jannat for? Ever notice that? Think about it. I mean, hey, listen, you know, I mean, Jannah, I mean, you don't need to force me. You don't need to force me. Just go ahead. Let me just go there. He said, but no, some people have to be forced in there. Some people are going to be gathered and forced. You know? وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ I mean, we are going to force the people. Put them together and we're going to push them into Jannat. Allah, why do you need to push these people into Jannat? Imagine that. I mean, really, this is like the most amazing place ever, beyond our imagination. Every sort of, everything is there. Why are you doing that? That you have to push them into Jannah. This is something interesting, you know. Really, it's interesting to see that. And then maybe you will understand from there what it means. If you understand the ayat, you know, then truly you will be blown away by what it actually means. Really, you'll be blown away by what it actually means, you know. You can ask Allah, Allah, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, that you can force people to go to hell, but what about heaven? Who are these people that you have to force to heaven? You know, here it is. It was, you know, in one hadith it has come. It said that, you know, on the day of judgment when everyone is going to be divided, you know, good and bad, and all these things are happening, you know, and there'll be a court, and that court is going to go forward, and everyone is going to be in their place, you know, and in that court, there will be a witness Allah brings, and that witness is going to be Bibi Fatima. And she's going to stand as a witness, right? For all of us, but everyone else is going to sit. Everyone else is going to sit. Right? You know, all the Ahlul Bayt, all the Imams are going to sit. Bibi Fatima is going to be the main witness. You know, everyone will just sit there. All the Imams will just be sitting there. And said that next to her will be a room where Hussein is sitting. And Imam Hussein is going to sit there, and around him are going to be his lovers, his people. When they see Hussein, they are going to crowd towards him. They are going to crowd around him, because this is what they have been waiting for. You know, these people will be the companions of Imam Hussein, who wanted to spend time with Hussein, but the only time they had to spend with Hussein was Ashura. And you know what? They wish to spend so much time with him, they will be given the announcement, the declaration that you are going to go to Jannat. Come on, you are avoided Jannat now. We are going to escort you to Jannat. Angels will come and announce it. And they will say, let's go to Jannat. And those companions will say, but Hussein is here. We don't want to leave Hussein. No. You're going to go to Jannat. Let's go there. He says, listen, our life was for him. We're not going to leave him and go. You know, I said that. They'll be like, no, come on. They'll be like forced to go. They said, no, we don't want to leave Hussein. We don't want to leave Hussein. We don't want to go. Let go of him. Imagine this. Can you imagine this? Allah says that they will be, he will have to force them. We'll have to take them to Jannah like that. He says, what's the use of Jannah without Hussein? What's the use of heaven without Hussein? You know, some of these people only met Hussein for a few hours. You know that? Some of them only met Hussein for a few hours. They didn't know Hussein before Ashura. They met him for a few hours and they fell so much in love with Hussein that, you know, the lovers of Hussein, they will look at Hussein and say, Hussein, wherever you go, we just want to see you. We just want to be with you. We just want to know you. Imagine these people who went with Hussein. Only a few hours they met on Ashura. Can you imagine what happened in their life? That now eternally they don't want heaven. They just want Hussein. Hussein, what have you done to them? You know, this is what Hussein does to his lovers. He takes them and he changes. He makes them such that now they don't want to leave him. You know, there was a servant, there was a slave, or one of the companions who came to help Imam Hussein. And this slave, he was just a slave. They say he was a Turkish slave. In the books, there's no name for him. All they said that he is a Turkish slave. He was a Turk, and he was a Turkish person. He was a slave of Imam Hussein, of one of the companions who came there. He just got to know Hussein in Karbala. He didn't even speak to Imam Hussein. He just saw Hussein. And he just used to look at Hussein with admiration and said, what a great person. I wish Hussein could look at me sometimes. Maybe Hussein can look at me sometimes, but then he would be like, I'm just a slave. Who am I? Because around him were great people. Habib ibn Mazahir was not an ordinary person. He was a great individual. Muslim ibn Usajjah is a great individual. Zuhair ibn Qain, these are highlighted figures. Burair is a highlighted figure. And this slave used to look at himself as an inferior, that I'm inferior. Who am I to even go and say salam to Imam Hussein? I'm nobody. I'm just wasting his time. Hussein would say, who are you? Why are you saying salam to me? So I will not say anything. He just used to look at Imam Hussein whenever he get the chance. He used to clean the horses, and then every time Hussein would come out of his tent, he would look over the horses just to see Imam Hussein. He would just look at him. He would just take his time just looking at Hussein and said, I wish Hussein could just see me once and notice me somehow. Somehow notice me here and this and that. So this slave, it is said that after all these people went and got martyred, right? He says, what's the use of my life? I want to die for Hussein also. I can't see anyone harming him. So he went and fought. He went and fought on one side of the battlefield. He was fighting there on one side of the battlefield until he was injured and he fell to the ground. Fatally wounded, he fell to the ground. And as he fell to the ground, he heard everyone say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. They would say it out loudly so Hussein knows that someone has fallen to the ground. So he wanted to say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. But as soon as he started to say it, he saw that, you know, I'm just a lowly slave. Why should I bother Hussein that Hussein has to worry about me? That Hussein has to worry about me. So he didn't say anything. He just slowly whispered to himself, Assalamu alaykum ya Aba. Just a little bit like that. He just said it like that. He fell to the ground. He fell to the ground satisfied that he is going to die. And I just died for Hussein. I'm going to die for Hussein. He closed his eyes as the sun burned down on his face. He was injured and dying from the bleeding that he had. He was just bleeding there and he was just wishing, you know, I wish Hussein would live. I don't want him to get hurt. A person like that should not get hurt. And he was just thinking like that. Whatever was going through his mind, he saw this cool breeze come on his face. He thought that maybe this is it. Maybe I might go to Jannah. Maybe I might go there. I don't know what, but I feel this breeze that came onto his face. And as soon as I saw the breeze, I said, this is it. Maybe the angel of death is here. And when he opened his eyes, he saw Hussein sitting over him. Hussein sat over him, smiling, and said, you thought that Hussein won't come to you? You thought that Hussein's just going to leave you like that? He said, but master, why did you take the trouble to come here? Why did you take the trouble to come here? You know, Hussein, when anyone calls Hussein is going to be there for them. You think I'm going to let you go like this? He picked him up. He says, Mawla, but at that same moment, he died. As he died, they said that the angel of death came to take his body, his ruh. And as the angel of death came to take his ruh, Hussein picked him up with his own hands, handed him to the angel of death and said, give this as a special gift to my mother. Mother.
سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. يا محمود بحق محمد، يا الله بحق علي، يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطمة، يا محسن بحق حسن، يا قديم الأحسان بحق حسين. الله give us the tawfiq to be on the right path with wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our imam. Make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين. يا حسين.